My name is Kelly Jean-Philippe, and you are listening to the Welcome to Fatherhood podcast. Today, Piotr John Piercak and I discuss the topic of paternal leave and reasons why more fathers should take leave from work to spend time with their newborn.
But the funny thing is that when I speak with my friends who are fathers and they didn't take this parental leave, and I ask them, okay, but why you didn't? They have thousands of different excuses, right? But when we go in our discussion further, it ends up with a confession. You know, Piotr, I regret that I didn't take this parental leave.
Let me start by asking you to please introduce yourself.
Hi, Kelly. Hello, everyone. My name is Piotr. I was born and raised in Warsaw, in Poland, Central Europe. And since last year, I'm a dad. So my life changed quite much. And fun fact, we are recording that just a few days before first birthday of my son.
Oh,
very
wow.
Special week, I would say. Very special one. So we are preparing for that. The time flies. And on the professional level, I work mostly for most of my time in the financial sector, for the banks, for the insurance companies. And now I work for one of the biggest fintechs right now here in Poland.
So we're recording this conversation. You're in Poland. I am in Philadelphia in the States, and we're about 6 hours apart. I thought that the time difference would be greater, but it's only 6 hours difference, which is pretty cool. And currently, if I'm on leave from work as a result of the birth of my second son, who is at this point in time, he is a week and 3 days old. And you're also on leave too, if I'm not mistaken, yeah?
Yes, that's correct. And this is how we met online, right? When I started to talk about leave online and social media, this is how our paths crossed.
Absolutely.
That's correct.
Absolutely. So before we dive into the conversation that we're planning to have today about parental leave and the disparities of men versus women taking parental leave and all of that stuff, in honor and celebration of your son's birthday, give me a brief overview of how your life changed a year ago when he came into your world, and just sort of what was that experience like? What has it been like? And the thoughts and emotions that you're now housing leading up to his first birthday?
Very nice question. And I think we don't have enough time to describe all the feelings that I had back then. That's for sure. Funny story is that when it happened on 11th of March, 2020, 4 hours before he came to this world, I received an email from my university that I finished my business program over there. And just 4 hours later on, I received the information that we need to go to the hospital, right? So I'm joking that I was going from one project to another, lifelong project, I would say.
Yeah.
Literally, it was 4 hours before happening. So I will tell very briefly a story. When we were expecting our baby, I had in my head this image from the American movies. When your wife is calling you and said, "Hey, dude, I feel this is the time." And this guy's, you know, driving like crazy to the like half of the city, crossing all the red lights, and going home, driving crazy back to the hospital with the escort of the police and this kind of stuff. And when my partner called me on Friday, 11th of March, and she told me, "You know, Piotr, I think this is happening." And I said, like, "Oh, I like instantly switch." I reminded all those movies, you know, and I, you know, went to my boss, said, "I need to go home immediately because my baby boy is coming to this world." And I drew like crazy home. I entered to my home, and what I see, she's making up her hair, you know? And I said, "You are not like giving a birth right now?" I said, "Yeah, but I need to prepare myself to go to the hospital." And I said, "What?" Just like super calm, you know, super calm. And I was like, "Yeah, but are you packed?" do you know where we need to go? I said, yeah, but wait, I need to prepare myself. I don't know how long I will stay there. And back then, she thought that, you know, sometimes it's a false alarm, right? And she was like more than sure that it's a false alarm. And on the same day, we had a meeting with my best friend from the school. And she said, yeah, I bake this kind of stuff, so take it with you. I said, are you crazy? We are going to the hospital. Maybe you will stay there and give your first in life birth, you know? What are you doing? Yeah, but maybe it's a false alarm and we will go for a party. She was super calm, I need to say. And then when she was, you know, in the hospital, the doctor said, you are not going to any party today. You will get birth delivered today. So, yes, that's correct. And I said, oh, that's a big thing, you know? So I immediately call all my friends and say, you know, you have this kind of thing in Poland that you are meeting with all your guys when your child is born, right? It's this kind of, you know, evening meeting with all your male friends to celebrate that you became a father. And one of my friends even, you know, said, okay, I am canceling my trip for a weekend because that's the most important thing, you know, to be with you at this moment, right? And then I need to cancel it again because I had to go to hospital. So it was a crazy day, you know, super crazy day. And I think I was much more stressed than the mother of my child. That's for sure.
That's a great story. I don't think for us as men, as guys, we necessarily pay so much attention about how we're going to look when our child is born. It's just a matter of, and you're absolutely right. When my wife said it was go time, I mean, there was a switch that just got turned on and it was, okay, this stuff is already in the car. That stuff is already in the car. What do you need? Like, let's go. And she was just really calm. This, you know, for our first son, I remember still walking from the garage to the hospital and we are wheeling our suitcases. And I said to her, doesn't it feel like we're on our way to the airport and not to like have a baby? And she was like, yeah, it does kind of feel really calm. This time around, though, it was a totally different experience because her water broke early in the morning, but not in the same way as with our first son. And she woke up and she stayed awake for an hour prior to waking me up, because she wanted to make sure that the pain she was feeling were contractions and nothing else like a false alarm. And so an hour into her feeling her water breaking, she wakes me up and she says, we need to go to labor and delivery right now. And I just popped out of bed and I was like, oh, okay, say less, let's go. And we got in the car and we drove to the hospital. And as soon as we got there, they evaluated her. She was already 5 centimeters dilated. And about an hour or so later, she was 7 centimeters dilated. Apparently, there was another couple who was going to deliver their twins. And because my wife was moving so quickly, we bumped them out of the way. And, you know, our son came into this world at 7:48 on February the 25th. But it was just that switch got turned on again. Hey, it's go time. It's go time. Like, let's go. And it's been a whirlwind ever since. Just one continuous blur.
I believe that the stories are quite similar. And I think that the main thing I think here, that one common denominator is adrenaline, you know, this rush. And you need to take an action and you don't think what you need to do or anything else. Like, this is the most important thing right now. And nothing else matter more than, you know, to go to the hospital and, you know, get the baby in safe hands, right?
Absolutely. So now with your son's birthday a couple of days away, what are some of the emotions you are reliving, you are feeling? What plans do you guys have for the party? Like, how do you plan on celebrating his birthday?
Well, first of all, I got those flashbacks from the day when it happened, when he came to this world. Mm-hmm. I forget about them very quickly, you know, because the routine of the day and all those new things that you need to learn, you need to, you know, experience by yourself. You forget about this day one, I would say. But I got this very vivid memory, I think, yesterday, when for the first time in my life, I got my son to keep him on my laps, you know? And that was super unexpected. Because when I brought my partner to the hospital, I was asked to bring some kind of additional documents from home. So I returned it back home, came back again to the hospital, and I thought that I'm returning home. So I'm leaving her at the hospital, you know? Mm-hmm. And they said, no, you're waiting with us. I said, what? And I was super scared back then. And I entered to the room when my partner was waiting, you know, and she was like smiling, we make like a picture together, like almost like on holidays. And I didn't expect that it would look like that, you know?
Yeah.
And then they said, okay, that's the time. I said, okay, so I'm going home. No, you are waiting here, you know? And it was like 1 hour and someone is coming to the room, you know, with more like trolley or something, you know?
Yeah.
And inside of it, there was this small little human, and this nurse asked me, I'm a father, it's you, Piotr? Yes, so here you have it. I said, what? It was like, I couldn't describe it, you know? And I remember one of my friends who told me before my child was born that keeping this small human on your laps for the first time in your life, it's incomparable to anything else. And he used, you know, very vivid examples like it's not even the best promotion you got at work. It's not even the best sex you had in your life. It's like so particular experience that it's one of a kind. And I think this is one of those experiences in life that you need to experience by yourself. Mm-hmm. Like no book, no friend, no conversation, no discussion will give you this idea how it will feel. So coming back to your question, I got those vivid memories from the hospital, from the day one. And second thing that we are thinking loudly at home is that many people say that you see how time flies when you look at your children. And I think that's true. Like when we realize that it's already 12 months, that for the 12 months we are living with this small human at home and how much changed over the months. That's really amazing, I would say. When I look at those, when we go, for example, for our doctor appointment, and when we see those kids that are a little bit smaller, like 3, 4, or 5 months old, and I talk to my partner, hey, look, so small ones. When our kid was so small, and it was like, you know, 5, 6 months ago. So it goes so fast. And I think I realized couple of days before his first birthday that I would like to stop the time. Mm-hmm. I don't want, as far as I'm enjoying those new things that he's learning, making his first steps, eating new things, making those strange faces when he's tasting new things, right? Mm-hmm. I would like to stop the time for a moment because I know that those moments will not come back for sure. And no video, nothing will, you know, nothing will be the same again. So that's for sure this kind of additional thoughts that I have before his first birthday.
Before we transition into our main topic of conversation to kind of wrap this up, if you could advise a first-time parent, a first-time dad, about some things that he can do or he should do just to make sure that these moments don't scurry away too quickly from his awareness, from his grasp. What sort of practical things would you advise this father to do so that he can soak in those moments more intimately with his child, particularly a first-time dad?
Yeah, I'm not an expert on that, right? I can say about my own experience and my own, let's say, lessons learned and what I probably do a little bit maybe different or what I did well.
Yeah.
One thing for sure is to really focus on the kid. It's like, don't try to do all those things that you were doing before. And we will talk about this in detail when we will move to the parental leave itself. But for example, when I entered the parental leave, I removed my working mailbox from my phone. I didn't get any notification from work. And of course, nobody was intentionally contacting with me during the leave because they knew that I am on the leave. But of course, you are on those different mailing lists and so on. You have those business apps. I removed all of them fully. I logged out from work. Another thing is that you need to adjust to the kid. Kid is not adjusting to you, right? So
yes.
I still met a lot of new people. I still stayed in contact with my best friends. But what was different? They had to come to my apartment. We had to plan a coffee in the neighborhood. I couldn't go to the city center or go to a different neighborhood that, like I was doing before, right? I like to say to all those people who want to have kids or they are first-time parents, your life is changing and everybody is repeating the same thing, right? But I like to add that it's changing not for worse or for better even, but it's just different. And it doesn't mean that it's worse or better. It's just different, right? Another example, we are still inviting our friends to our apartment for a dinner, right? I like to cook. Even if the kid is still there, they are coming. They are playing with him. And of course, we don't play loud music. We don't drink too much alcohol because the kid is at home, right? But we are still doing those things that we were doing before, but in a different way to adjust to the kid, right? And I think this helps a lot. And one, I think, last thing is we learn it from others. Don't close the door when your kid arrives to this world, right? There's a lot of parents who are like panicking a little bit, you know. There's a kid, we are focusing all our time on the kid. Something that we learn, not afraid to ask for help. Ask for help your parents. Ask your parents-in-law for help. Ask your friends. We are like, we have visitors who don't have kids, but we are like, we have open door policy at home. And we are still, again, doing the same things that we were doing before he was born, but in a different way. And I think that helps, you know, to be with your kid and still be yourself, but of course, in a different way.
I would add just a like one or two things to that. What one thing, really, what I did with my first son and I am doing with my second son is to try to capture these moments of their, you know, this early phase of their existence. Because to what you said earlier, there's a huge difference when your child is 7 months old and then you're in the presence of someone with a newborn, a 2-month-old, a 3-month-old. The evolution from, which is still the same first year of life, but just a matter of months, just a matter of weeks, if you're really paying attention, and that child has changed so much. So one thing that I've done and I've been telling people to do is every phone has the capability to record sound and to capture videos and pictures. So put your phone to good use. Record the babbling sounds. Record the sounds when they're crying. Record the sounds when they start giggling and laughing. My son has this thing where when we put the pacifier in his mouth and he's like arguing, but also so thankful for having the pacifier. And so he is expressing himself in this really cute noise that he makes. And so I'm recording that because now that I have a newborn and I have a toddler, although I am so grateful that we have these two children, I miss my firstborn when he was in his baby phase. And so I often go back and I look at pictures and I listen to the conversations that he and I used to have when he was 3 months old, when he was 4 months old. And I look at the videos and I look at the pictures for my own sanity, for my own sake, and just for my own enjoyment. And also to be able to share with him, hey, this is what the early days of your life that you will have no recollection of. This is what it sounded like. This is what it looked like. This is what you and daddy used to do. This is, and so that's one practical thing that I would add to all of the other practical things that you said in conjunction with, because it is true, life changes, not for the better or for the worse, it's just a different change. And I know for me, both of these times, I continue to find it challenging to do what you said, to not close out the world, to not invite other people and stay in contact with other people. It can be very isolating if those efforts aren't being made. So all of that is really, really sound, really sound counsel. Let's transition to our main topic of conversation.
Yeah, just before we go forward, I think I believe that there is a very big difference also between staying in contact with people who have kids because they understand you, you know? And it's a little bit harder to stay in contact with your friends who don't have kids, right?
Yes.
That's a little bit challenging, I would say. It's obvious that you are getting also new friends when you are going to those places for kids, you know, those playgrounds. So you start to meet other people, right? But I think we did a quite good job at staying in touch with people who have kids. And we have now new topics to talk with each other. And this group of people who still don't have kids, but they are still our friends and they're coming to our place and they're playing with our kid. I think we are on this small little mission of telling them and showing them that, hey, having a baby, it's not end of the world, right? Like many people think. And I think our kid is a very nice example because he's super smiley. He's not afraid of literally anyone. So I think he's a really good example and benchmark of, hey, you can have this smiley little human at your home. So maybe you should get rid of those, you know, different stereotypes in your head and think about kids in the future.
So let's transition into our main topic of conversation. Like you said and alluded to earlier, the main reason that you and I have connected on LinkedIn is I don't remember how, but I came across one of the articles that you've published writing about parental leave and men in particular taking parental leave and some of the issues surrounding that. And after reading the article, which has been my practice since starting this podcast more and more so lately, is if I like what I'm reading, then I'd look for the person who produced it and just say, what the heck? Let's try to reach out and connect. And this is how you and I have connected. And so what we share in common, aside from being fathers and having young children, is like we said at the beginning of the show in our conversation, that both of us are on parental leave. And we've had a prior conversation before this one, when we were first meeting, about the differences between parental leave policies in Poland, for instance, versus what's affordable and available to me here in the United States. But broadly speaking, before we start talking about some of those details, broadly speaking, what is your view on the benefits of men, fathers in particular, taking parental leave after the event of welcoming a child into their lives?
I think it's a super important question, because most common answer to this question is dads who are staying with their kids on parental leave, and or they stay a little bit longer with the kids at home, they are creating this stronger bond with the kid. And of course, that's true 100%, right? I'm worried that people are seeing only this part, which of course is very important. I'm not underestimating it, right? But I think the answer to this question is much more complex, and we have much more different points that are coming from the fact of staying at home dads, right? If it's permanent or it's, you know, temporarily on the parental leave, for example, right? And this is how I found a need to write about this online. So first of all, for sure, creating a stronger bond with the kid. But looking beyond that, what does it mean a stronger bond with your kid? Mm. When I talk with mothers who stay with their kids, and now the kids are a little bit older, and they complain that they hear complaining fathers, why those kids are not sharing the secrets with me? Why they are talking only with their mom, right? And what does it mean creating a stronger bond? It's like the kid sees both parents equally. They trust mm-hmm. them equally, right? But I think in many different cultures, we have those stereotypes about what a dad is doing at home and what mom is doing at home, right? And I think from the benefit coming from taking a parental leave is that you are making those roles more equal. Your kid is seeing not only mommy cooking, the kid is seeing dad also cooking, right? Mm-hmm. He's seeing mm-hmm. dad playing, feeding, you know, bathing the kid, right? So I believe it brings equality at home, but what's happening outside home, I think it's also important. And that's why I also decided to write those articles, not on Facebook, but on this business-oriented LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. Because many people, I believe, they don't see any advantages coming from parental leave impacting their professional life. And I'm not saying about leveraging being a parent. That's wrong in many, many ways. But mm-hmm. what I meant is that if a dad is taking a parental leave, it means that the mom is coming back to the workforce much earlier. That's a very strong support for women's rights in the workforce, right? And the topic is super complex, probably for a series of podcasts, right?
Sure.
Why
sure.
the women are not paid equally, right? Why women are not promoted? Because they are having a gap. They are having a gap to raise their kids, right? So, of course, men will not replace 100% women during the childcare, right? We are not giving the birth. We are not mm-hmm. breastfeeding. But what I like to say that we can do everything else, right? And it's a lot of things to do. So I believe there is a huge impact on equality at home and also in your professional life, because your partner or your wife is coming back to work earlier, right? So she can still pursue her career in the right place. And I think it also fights quite nicely with the stereotypes, right? And I think it doesn't matter. Well, now I'm sitting here in Warsaw, in Poland, in Europe. You are sitting in Philadelphia, in States. But during our previous conversation, I think we could find many similar stereotypes about female and male roles at home and also at work. So I think taking a parental leave by men, by fathers, is contributing a little bit to all those things that I mentioned before. So I think the answer is very complex and it touches very different verticals of our life, not only at home.
Yeah, I couldn't say it better than that. I will share a bit of my own story, given that my son, my firstborn, he came during the pandemic back in 2020. Being home and receiving a child and becoming a father for the first time during that context where my organization or the organization that I work for sent a group of us home, it provided me the opportunity to spend this quality time with my child in a way that I didn't know necessarily that I wanted to spend. For sure, I knew I wanted to spend time with him and to be available to support my wife and, you know, to bond with my child. But I didn't necessarily understand the value of spending that time with him. After he was born and spending quite a bit of time with him, I had to go back to work. And I was in distress going back to work because priorities had shifted for me. It didn't seem reasonable, logical, responsible even to leave my family and to go to work anymore. It felt quite the opposite, actually. I felt that I needed to spend more time and to find some way to produce at the same level for my family, but from home, so that I could be with my child. And after the initial weeks, then I took an additional 12 weeks of parental leave through my organization. It was unpaid, but because I had enough time in a time bank, I was able to still maintain a paycheck during that time. And those were the best 12 weeks of my life, including how challenging it was, including how tiring it was, including how many times I questioned myself and my ability as a father to support, to raise, to nurture, to love on a newborn and an infant. But I wouldn't trade those 12 weeks for anything in the world, so much so that now with my newborn, it was a no-brainer. I am absolutely doing this again, and I don't even want to think about the possibility of going back to work and leave my two sons now. So I ended up discovering a whole new layer of what it means to be involved, what it means to be present, what it means to be available, what it means to share the responsibility and the load of raising children, which, to your point, cuts so much deeper than the superficial nuance, not even nuances, but the superficial narrative of fathers being available, fathers being present, fathers being involved. There's an emotional trust, there's an emotional bond that I have with my firstborn that has truly pay dividends now in this phase of his adjusting to life with a baby brother. And so he trusts me with his big emotions. He trusts me when he's having a difficult time, and I'm able to talk to him, and we're able to understand each other, and he's able to turn around and to regulate his emotions based off of my instructions. And we have an understanding. We play with each other. From the moment he wakes up, daddy, 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 daddy. And for as frustrating and tiring it is because I'm sleep deprived, I enjoy it. I love it. I welcome it. And I think the roots of that comes from the time that we spent together when he was born. Why do you think that most organizations, I'll ask the question this way, because you're in Poland, I'm in the United States. What does the landscape for businesses in Poland, in terms of what is that landscape in terms of how organizations and businesses allow fathers this time to spend with their children once they're born?
Referring to our previous conversation and what I have learned about how the family policies look like in states, I think they cannot be more different than they are in Poland, right? But I think there is some other problem in that. And to give our listeners an overview how it looks in Poland before I will go to those to your question, is that roughly in Poland we have 1 year of paid childcare. When your kid is born, the mother has roughly half a year paid maternity leave. And after this half a year, there is another half a year, which is officially called a parental leave, which can be shared with a second parent, right? And it's also paid. If you plan everything in advance, meaning you will say that you are taking the whole year, you are getting 80% of your salary. It's a cut, but still, let's face it, and let's be honest, you can live
it's with 80%.
That, right? It's still 80% of your salary, right? There are different combinations you can have, for example, 100% for the first half a year and then 60% for the rest of the year. It boils down to 80% for, on average, through all 12 months, right? When I talk with people from United States and I tell them that, hey, we have on the state level a guarantee of a parental leave for both parents and it's paid, and then I give them a disclaimer that only 1 in 100 fathers are taking this leave, those people will say, it's something wrong with you guys. I totally agree with that. And of course, this problem is much more complex, and I'm not judging any dad who didn't take a parental leave. But the funny thing is that when I speak with my friends who are fathers and they didn't take this parental leave, and I ask them, okay, but why you didn't? They have thousands of different excuses, right? But when we go in our discussion further, it ends up with a confession. You know, Piotr, I regret that I didn't take this parental leave, because not being present at work for 1, 2, 3, even 3 months, it shouldn't change so much your career. At least this is the point from where I'm coming, right? Here in Poland and many countries in Europe, you have on a state level a guarantee of maternity and parental leave, which is in most cases paid or almost fully paid, right? Compared to states when you don't have any guarantee, right? Here it's on the state level. And in the United States, it depends, right, on the corporations. It depends on the company if they are giving you any paid leave or not. So because it is on a state level, an employer cannot refuse giving you this leave, right? So I am just informing my company that I am taking a leave to take care of my kid. So it's just a process that has only one ending. An employer, he needs to sign it off. That's all. Of course, you need to inform your boss in advance, and it's written in the law that I don't remember right now. It's roughly a couple of weeks before. And it's just more like, it's not like application for 3 days, right? For holidays or whatever. You are just giving an information on the piece of paper that starting on this date, I'm going for parental leave. And you don't even ask about it. You shouldn't even, because this is your right. And that's a big difference between Poland and the United States, right?
Yes.
So knowing all of that, everyone who's listening to us can think about it for a moment. Okay, so this is your right. It's 80% paid. So why the heck people are not taking it? Mm. And that's long. That's a complex, very complex question, and I think I didn't find a full answer to it yet.
Maybe we can explore that question on another podcast conversation and episode, because that is an important question, particularly from the vantage point of my experience here in the state, where parental leave, to the best of my knowledge, is not a government approved thing. It is an organization approved thing. Now, there is Family Medical Leave of Absence, FMLA, which is basically just a placeholder for you or the person who takes FMLA to not be fired from their job. But you're not being paid. It's not a paid leave. It is just a placeholder in your organization that you work for that says that you have experienced this life change, and it's granting you the opportunity for 3 months to bond with your newborn, or if you adopted some kids, for you to settle into life and bonding with your adopted kids. And I think it covers some other things as well. So it's all sort of like a big pot of life events, but it's not a government thing. The leave, the paid leave. And so from my vantage point of being in a country where that's not the thing, I'm over here just saying to myself, if I was getting government-backed parental leave and I'm getting 80% of my salary for up to a year, why wouldn't I? On this side of the grass, it just makes so much more sense for me to be able to take full advantage of that opportunity. So the fact that that is not being taken advantage of more is for sure a deeper, more complicated question that needs to be explored. And I think part of it has to do with some of the things that we've alluded to already earlier in our conversation. Could it be a disinterest? Could it be all of the centuries of indoctrinating of men that life at home is more the woman's job, the mother's job? And, you know, could men begin to feel a threat on, you know, how we portray ourselves as men and as caregivers and all of the insecurities and all of that stuff? I'm sure there's a little bit or a lot of bit of all of those things wrapped up in that answer. And I don't think that there's necessarily one particular answer as much as it is a whole matrix of issues that continue to play into why so many men are not taking full advantage of this wonderful gift. I mean, it's truly a gift.
I couldn't agree more with you, Okale. When I talk with other dads who didn't take a parental leave, I think one of the most common reasons or explanation for them or excuse is work. In general, the perception of work. You can call it fear of missing out. You can call it, in general, fear of losing the job, right? I think in our heads, and it's changing when you became a parent, that what is really important for you when you are a single, right? When you don't have a family, what is important for many of people? Good party on the weekend, having friends around, which of course is changing through the generations, right? And I think among top three things would be work, because it's bringing you money, it brings you satisfaction, it brings you a little bit of fame, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's very hard to somehow sacrifice. And maybe sacrifice is a wrong word, but to put it aside and see what is really important in your life. And I will not blame anyone, because I was the same person before my kid was born, right? It was work, 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 and again, work. Your priorities are changing quite fast when your kid is there, right? So I think for many fathers, keeping in mind what you said about the stereotypes, about the mom staying at home and taking care of the child, I think guys think in those very old-fashioned terms. I am a breadwinner. I am bringing money here. Statistically, I am earning more. So if we had to choose who is staying at work and who is staying at home, then usually it's a mother. And it's not only about Poland, it's the same in states, in many other countries, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I think one of my good friends from Belgium, we had a conversation last week, and he has a 3-year-old daughter. And we were discussing my articles, and he said this very nice sentence that the work is important because we make it important. I think in the end of the day, when we are coming back from the parental leave as fathers, many of us will realize that nothing has happened. We were absent for 2, maybe 3, maybe even 4 months. But this company is still there. Your job is still there. Your colleagues from work are sitting at the same desks. They're still probably the same CEO, because in the end, what can really change in the company in 3 or 4 months? And I think this is even more vivid in the bigger companies, in the big corporations, when you are this one of many. And I don't want to diminish any role or any job that our listeners can do on a daily basis. But in the end of the day, if you realize that the life goes on, and this place is waiting for you. And in the end, it's just a job. However it sounds, but it's not just the family. It's your family. This job can have many faces, right? And there are plenty of them in different places, right? But you have only one family. You have only one home that you are coming back there every day. So then you can ask yourself a question. What is more important to you? The small little human waiting for you at home or your colleagues at the office?
You are preaching to the choir, sir. Let the church say amen. Because I recently wrote a blog post titled The Prime Cut. And that is precisely the point that I am arguing in that blog post. Sharing my experience of this perspective shift that you so eloquently described, and that particularly for someone who works in a big corporation. So let's bracket that and say clearly part of this conversation, if not most of it, may not apply to someone who is really having to grind and do things and work somewhere where parental leave is just not something that is even offered in the job that they're working at. So we're obviously not talking about those individuals whose circumstances do not apply to this greater or to this basic point of having parental leave available or unavailable or available to them rather. But what I was arguing in my blog post was basically that, what sense does it make that an organization that is well established, of which I am a part of, an important part of, regardless of where my level of importance falls on that hierarchy or that spectrum, nevertheless, I'm still an important part of that organization. What sense does it make for me to offer so much of the prime version of myself, my mental abilities, my emotional availability and abilities, my energy, my years, my time to an organization that long preceded my existence and will long supersede my absence, and not give the prime cut of myself to my family, who is the most precious entity to me, because without my contribution, my collaboration, that little human wouldn't be here. And that little human depends on me for his, in my context, for his upbringing, for his development, for his survival, for his nurturing. It, to me, it doesn't make rational or logical sense. The sense in society where we say fathers have to be emotionally viable for their children while dismissing the fact that there are issues surrounding fathers being given leave or even taken, not even being given, taking leave from work in order to be with their children. And that there are organizations that, although they do have a parental leave policy, it's laughable at best for that organization to offer what it is that they're offering as a substantive parental leave opportunity for a man and a father who has just become a dad. But we want to say, hey, go to work as you should as a father. Give all of your time to your employer, you know, because we got to get money to support our families. It's all tied to this sense of being the provider and the breadwinner. But when you get home, you still have to be as fresh as you were with your kids as you were in the morning that you woke up from presumably a good night's sleep for you to go to the office and do the thing that you did for the last 8 hours, 10 hours, 12 hours, 16 hours, and then you got to go home and be emotionally available, play with your kids, roll on the floor, sit down and do homework, dinner table. Oh, by the way, you're married too, if you are. So you got to be there for your wife and you got to do this. And the feedback and the pushback, rather, that I've gotten from sharing that is, well, there's the weekends, so you can do things with your kids on the weekends. Oh, okay, so I got to give 5 days a week to my employer and 2 days a week to my kids. How is that adding up?
That's something wrong.
How does that make any sense? To me, that's something wrong. And so do you think that part of it, if not the heartbeat of what we're talking about, do you think it all comes down to the effects of a capitalistic mindset or the capitalistic mindset and how that has tentacles in every facet of our existence that also shapes how we begin, not even begin, how we even continue to talk about the role of the father as the breadwinner, the provider, for example?
Well, personally, I think if it would be only about the capitalism, that would be an easy answer. And it would be easier to fix, right? And I believe that it's just a system. I don't know who said that, but nobody found really a superior system than the capitalism, right? But it has also different faces, right? So it's not one size fits all, right?
Yeah.
But think about it, how coming back to the corporations, it's more about, I think, this patriarchy that stayed with us for so many years. I like those pictures of those companies who are saying that we have in our strategy narrowing the payment gap, bringing more promotions for the female employees, right? And then we see those pictures from the management board meetings when you have, you know, 9 guys and 1 woman.
Yeah.
That's a problem, right? And how you can have a company that it's promoting gender equality while they are not giving any parental leave. That's something wrong, isn't it, right? So, yes. Like, we have this very popular word, greenwashing, about all those companies that they say that they do something good for the planet, but they do good only in social media. But to be honest, they create a lot of waste in the Philippines, in Vietnam, and other places around the world. I think the same thing. Maybe there is some fancy word in English for that, but they believe that there's a long road from saying something in public press releases, what the company is trying to achieve and what they really do. And I strongly believe also that it starts with us, with people who are working for the company, right? What is the corporation? What is the company? It's a bunch of people, right? More or less important. And I believe that if we want to change that, I think people need to change how they think. And not only what they think, but also try to move from thinking to action. I'm not just, you know, thinker, I'm a doer. I believe that's an important thing to say and underline, that probably many different companies where you don't have any parental leave, you have managers who would say, okay, if you need to take care of your kid, go, right? And it's just a human being helping another human being, right? The problem here is that to address this issue of fathers not spending time with their kids, that we need some kind of, I don't know if you can say that, like some kind of systematic solution, something in writing. It's like in Poland that it's your right to take a couple of months of parental paid leave, right? So I'm not counting on the goodwill of my manager that he will say, okay, Piotr, you can stay with your kids as long as you want. You can take, I don't know, home office or whatever, if you need, wherever you need it, right? No, I should have a right to do it. And it's not your business to say yes or no, but I'm informing you in advance. And there is a process in place allowing me to do that, right? So coming back to your question, I think capitalism in itself, it can be a contributor, right? But when we look at those countries where there are different systems, right? Different economic systems. I also don't see their parents being equal, right? Some of the systems, they even promote even more dads at work and moms at home, right? So I think this economic system, it's not as strong, doesn't have the strong influence like has our culture. And I think that's a bigger problem. Worldwide problem of what we mentioned before, those stereotypes about dads, breadwinners, guys who are going to the office and bringing money to home, and women who are staying at home, taking of their kids and cooking. And saying that, I think it's a very nice and simple example how our world is strange. If we talk about cooking, right? We think that this is a domain of women staying at home and cooking for the kids and waiting for the lunch when this breadwinner will come back home, right? That's perfectly normal. But when we go to the fancy restaurant and we see a male cook, we say, great, that will be a great dinner. So I am asking, what is the difference from this male cook in the fancy restaurant and this busy mother at home in the kitchen? Why I cannot be this cook also at home, right? Is it somehow making me less a man? I don't think so, because there are so many famous chefs that they are male, right? So I think we are living in a very strange world with very narrow-minded thinking about particular things in life. And of course, I have them too, right? I'm not like, you know, knowing everything.
Yeah, we're not immune from it.
Having everything in balance, right?
So there are so many more things to explore in this conversation that continues to churn out interesting, possible avenue of conversation after another. So for sure, it seems like it's evident to me, and I hope it's evident to you too, that this is not going to be just a one-time appearance for us on this podcast to talk about these things. There needs to be more exploration in a lot of these issues that we're bringing forward. But to respect your time, and also, you know, we're both dads and we have duties. It's late for you. It's afternoon for me, and I have to relieve my wife very soon. I want to start landing our conversation, not necessarily resolving anything that we've spoken about already, but just for the fun of it, let's just problematize it a little bit more, and then we'll just leave it on a cliffhanger, if that's okay.
Fine by me.
Because I think what's fascinating about what we're talking about is the way fatherhood is framed and the issues surrounding fatherhood, the way motherhood is framed and the issues surrounding motherhood, the way parenthood is framed. It all comes down in what is framing the subject that is in question. Your point is so eloquent in that, what is the difference between a woman who is home cooking and that's socially acceptable? And we're saying that if a dad wanted to take leave so that he can assume more of a responsibility of being the one who cook dinner for when mom comes home from work, in some way, shape, or form, that is socially unacceptable. Yet, those two couple, you know, this couple says, we're going to go to a five-star Michelin restaurant, or Michelin five-star, whatever the word sequence is. And we're going to go out for a good night. And the chef happens to be a world-renowned male chef. No one bats an eye and says, hey, this dude shouldn't be in the kitchen. In fact, chef fancy guy has a wife, and the conversation would be, she must be living in heaven because she has this man to cook for her day in and day out. And that is socially acceptable because it's his job to cook. It's his job to be in the kitchen. So the way things are framed is really particularly interesting in terms of how we begin to dismantle, to redefine what the role of the father is and how it even looks like. I thought I had a really good question to ask, but I guess I don't have a question. It's just that observation right there, I think, just speaks volumes to how far we still need to go in the conversation of the portrayal of fathers, the privileges that should be afforded. I don't even want to say that should be afforded, but I am functioning from a basic assumption that the way fatherhood is framed and is spoken about, there still needs to be so much more careful and honest analysis, reframing, reshaping of the conversations to stop perpetuating the goofball and the incompetent one and all of that stuff, and begin to really take seriously the role in the same level that we're trying to portray the seriousness of the role, which goes back to what you were saying earlier. If fatherhood were a corporation, on paper, we're saying we're doing so much good for the fatherhood landscape. But in the details of it, we're still perpetuating all sorts of harmful things that are withholding this progress that we are projecting we're making on social media. And to me, that is such a, it's such a frustrating thing, because I'm in this circle and because I love father, I love being a father so much. It means so much to me to be a father that it makes it very frustrating to be in this space and just sort of see this double standard that also frames how fathers are being portrayed. I don't know if any of what I just said made any sense to you, but I'll leave you to conclude with any final thoughts or comments.
Well said, Kelly. I need to say that next to the podcast, we need to open a church and praise those kind of things. That's for sure. what can I say more to what you already said? I think those 60 minutes more, 67 minutes that we are recording this podcast, it showed only how complex fatherhood, taking parental leave, and equal roles at home are difficult topics, right? And I'm far from being an expert. I am a fresh dad, right? And everything what I am saying here is from my heart and from what I have seen. It's not something that I can say that it's 100% sure, just my opinion and yours, right? What I would add maybe at the end, I think that was a really good conversation with you. We open, I think, too many topics, and I think there's still a lot of them to be open up. It only shows that, it shows one of unexpected advantages of the fatherhood. And I didn't think about it before, but by saying that I am a dad online, I met a lot of great dudes, including you, Kelly. And this, I didn't expect that I would find so many like-minded guys who happen to be dads from around the world. And I think sticking together, making the podcast like this one, writing about fatherhood and promoting and raising the awareness that the role of dad can be different from the one that our dads had, our granddads had. This role can be different, and it can bring a lot of benefits, not only a stronger bond with your kid, but it can influence both your relationship with your kid. It can positively impact your relationship with your wife or your partner. And I strongly believe it can also bring a lot of benefits to you as a professional person at your work, at the office. So I think it's one of the best gifts to be a dad. And yes, hopefully we'll have a chance to touch on some different topics in the next podcast. So thanks again for inviting me over here.
Man, Piotr, thank you so much for those words. I really enjoyed this conversation, and you're absolutely right. We opened up a lot of different topics that I'm comfortable just leaving open, food for thought for our listeners, for ourselves, as we continue to think about and process, think critically about who we are and our role as fathers and what have you. Until next time, I wish you a wonderful evening. Happy birthday to your son. Celebrate, you know, with your family. And I hope you guys have a wonderful time capturing those memories and many more. And looking forward to the next time we can get together either for an offline conversation to check in and support, or for similar conversation on the podcast like this. So thank you so much for your time today, my friend.
Thanks a lot again.
Thank you.